I don't know how your year has been, but I can't believe that 2019 is just 2 days away. And I wanted to use today, the last Sunday of this year, to pretty much reflect a little on this past year, for all of us to do some personal reflection, but also to prepare for this new year ahead. You know, corporately as a church body, but also as an individual, just to take some time to reflect. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the holiday rush, you know, and now that Christmas is over, you know, you might be breathing a sigh of relief, but then it's like, oh, New Year's is around the corner. And, you know, because like you're running from place to place, family to family, party to party, dinner to dinner, or store to store, if any of you went shopping on the 26th. But it's so easy to just rush into the new year without much reflection. So most of our time today, we'll be doing some of that reflecting. But today, as we prepare to enter into 2019, I want to focus on just three words. Remember, forget, and see. These concepts and these three small words are really taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And it's my prayer that today that we'll be able to remember, forget, and also see. So I want to invite you to stand and read with me as we go into Isaiah chapter 43, from verses 16 to 21. It's a pretty short passage, but let's all read this together. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, this, I don't know if it's a familiar passage for you, but this is one of my favorite passages of scripture when I think about God's work. And really the context of this passage is that God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the Israelites when they were actually in captivity by the Babylonians. You know, this was a captivity that lasted for about 70 years. They were pretty much down and out. They were in exile. They were away from home. And they were in a foreign and distant land. And you can perhaps imagine some of the emotions that they may have been going through. Perhaps one of defeat, despair. When will this ever end? Is there a way out? Will God ever pull through? Will God be true to his promises? And as we reflect on these few verses, there are those three action words that I mentioned earlier. Remember, forget, and see. Now, the first thing that I want to just spend some time talking about is the concept of remembering. You know, in verses 16 to 17, Isaiah is saying, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, you'll remember that this is when the Lord is actually reminding the Israelites of the great things that God did for their forefathers many years ago when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, as recorded in Exodus chapter 14. You know, he reminded them of the miracles. He reminded them of the 10 plagues, of how Pharaoh had a hardened heart and he wouldn't let God's people go. And then how Moses, you know, went time and time again to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, and how God sent these plagues to deliver the people of Israel, and how Pharaoh eventually let them go. But then they got to the Red Sea and they were pretty much stuck. They didn't know what to do. And you remember how God parted the Red Sea. For some of you, maybe Charlton Heston is running through your mind right now, the Ten Commandments. But you get the picture, right? How the Red Sea parted and how all of Pharaoh's chariots and his army chased the Israelites into the Red Sea. And then how when the Israelites crossed over onto land, the sea basically covered all of them and killed Pharaoh's army, right? How God delivered the people of Israel from slavery and brought them into the promised land. You know, it was a really big deal for the Israelites, God's deliverance, right? But yet they forgot. And now you might think, well, of course they forgot because it didn't happen in their lifetime, right? It was probably who knows how many generations ago. You know, maybe they felt like too far removed from what had happened. But God is using Isaiah to say, remember what I did for you. Maybe not you in particular, but your forefathers. Remember what I did, the miraculous things, how I parted the Red Sea. And I feel like this concept of remembering, I don't know how many of you have good memories. I know I don't. Or at least maybe sometimes the things I shouldn't remember, I probably remember. And the things that I should remember, I don't remember. I remember my mom, when I was growing up, she's always saying like, how come you don't remember schoolwork? You know, how come you remember all these random things, right? But how is your memory? And I think, you know, when we talk about remembering, as we reflect upon 2018 and even beyond, one of the questions that I really want to ask you is, how has God been working in your life this year? How has God delivered you in the past? Maybe through peril. Maybe through a difficult circumstance. Or perhaps what enemy has he helped you conquer and defeat? You know, he wants us to remember and to call to mind the things that he has done in the past and to really not forget them. You know, again, we have a tendency to forget, right? But, you know, and in the last, I don't know, ever since New Vine started, you know, we have this family time. And through family time and even through our time together each Sunday, we've heard so many testimonies of what God has been doing amongst us as a family. You'll remember our brother from Eritrea, his story, right? You'll remember how there's a brother that is part of our family, how he was persecuted in his home country of Eritrea, how he was a pastor, how he's put into jail for about 2 or 3 years, and then God miraculously got him out of prison, and God basically got him here on political asylum. But since that time, he's been separated from his family for about 6 years. And you'll remember, if you've been journeying with us, and a lot of you have, and a lot of you have been praying, you'll remember how, you know, two of his kids in February, they basically got smuggled out of the country. They trekked through the night, 3 nights walking through the forest. One of the kids' shoes basically broke because the trek was so difficult. And you remember that just a few weeks ago, those two kids were reunited. And some of you have met those two kids, right? Well, right now, as we speak, his wife and his youngest son, who's 6 years old, they're flying over and they're gonna land in San Francisco at around 7 p.m. And so this is the stuff, this is the miracle stuff that we're talking about, right? I mean, that's right before us, right? And then, you know, three weeks ago, you heard about Carrie sharing her testimony of how God basically delivered her from breast cancer, right? How there's no more active tumor in her body. And even last week, Eric was sharing about how his mom, stage 4 lung cancer, she's now in remission, right? These are like, wow, miraculous stories. You know, this is kind of like what God is doing. But what about in your life? And I'm not saying every story has to be so dramatic. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. And that's okay. But it's still God at work. You know, when I reflect on my own personal life, you know, I think about my own story, and there's too much. I get rather long-winded when I talk about my story, so I'm not going to tell you my whole story, right? But there, I think about, you know, like my whole life, right? And I remember certain milestones, like in my life, you know, like how basically when I was 3, I came from Vietnam right before the fall of Saigon. How God miraculously brought us out of the country. And how at a very young age, I lost my father, but God's faithfulness in my own life, even though my earthly father, I never really knew him. And then, you know, some of you may remember, like, I didn't really do that well in school, and I was on AP, not advanced placement, but academic probation. But how God still miraculously gave me a really good job in biotech. In the last 20-some years, I learned so much and had all these opportunities. And even some of you that have journeyed with Cheryl and I, you knew that. Like, you know, after we got married, we were trying to have kids, and she had a few miscarriages, and then we were going through the whole thing about infertility, and then how when Josiah was born, we were so overjoyed and so happy, and now we have, you know, 3 kids later, now it's kind of like, oh, sometimes I just want to, like, wring his neck because he drives us crazy, you know? But you know, it's things like that, that, like, we remember, right? But what about you in your own life? What has God done in your life that you remember? What is God doing in your life? What has God done in 2018 that's worth remembering, that's really worth praising him? I think about myself, I forget, right? Just like the Israelites, I forget about the amazing things that God has done in my life. And I sometimes think I forget because I just get comfortable. You know, I just get into this new phase, like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, okay, what's the big deal? We have 3 kids. I mean, but it is a big deal because, you know, we were trying for so long and we couldn't have any. So it is a big deal, right? It's easy to take things for granted. Or maybe I forget because I get caught up with my everyday life and my current troubles, you know, that I forget all the things that God has done. You know, I think part of remembering is basically retelling these stories of God's faithfulness and practicing retelling them to each other. You know, maybe at the dinner table, you can retell a story without being too long-winded, but maybe you can, like, retell a story of God's goodness and faithfulness and making it a point to testify of what God has done in your life. Now, if you want to hear more details, there's a lot more details, so I can tell you more later. But what about you? What are some of those parting of the Red Sea moments for you? What are some of those Exodus moments in your life? What has God done that's worthy of you remembering? What has he done this past year that's worthy of you remembering? That's the first thing. The second thing, forget. Okay, second action word and command, as mentioned in verse 18, the next verse. So Isaiah, or God actually says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now it's kind of like, okay, well, verses 16, like just 2 verses ago, God is saying, like, okay, you're supposed to remember, right? Like, you're supposed to, like, you know, like, remember. And it's interesting and fascinating that just in verses 16 and 17, the Israelites are told to look at the past by remembering what God has done. But yet with verse 18, they're told to forget the former things. Like, what does that mean? Does that make sense? Well, I think the point is there is a sense that we must remember the past in terms of God's great work in our own lives. But there's also a point and a sense in which we must forsake and forget the past with all of the discouragement, all of the defeat, and move on for what God has for us in the future. You remember that the Israelites were in exile, right? They were in Babylon. They were in captivity. And they were probably very miserable. They were probably feeling very defeated. They didn't know how long this captivity would be. They were probably downcast. They were probably beaten up. It was very easy to focus on the here and now. Their present circumstances, it didn't look bright. They were under captivity. How am I supposed to remember the past when the past that God has done, when my present is the pits? How am I supposed to remember the past when my present doesn't make sense? I don't know about your current situation today. I don't know if maybe some of us feel like we may be in some sort of captivity or an exile. Or maybe we're feeling discouraged or in despair. Maybe 2018 wasn't the best of years for you. Maybe the last few months, you've been really struggling with something. maybe a broken relationship or maybe some pain that you've experienced. But why does God say, forget the former things? Do not dwell on the past. I mean, it sounds easier said than done, right? Oh, just forget about it. You know, now when I'm not trying to minimize the pain. I'm not trying to minimize the past. And I'm not trying to sweep it under the carpet or pretend that it's not there. But there comes a point where God is basically saying, you have to surrender that pain or that hurt or that discouragement or that thing that is holding you on to what I want to do in your life. You know, if we are not able to release the things of the past, God cannot do this new thing that we're going to read about in the next verse. If we are so intent on holding on to this past pain or this past hurt, whether it be from last week or last month or last year or even 15 years ago, God is not going to be able to do that new thing that he so desires. Is there something that perhaps the Lord is wanting you or me to let go of? Something that we've been dwelling on, holding on to, that we haven't surrendered and given up to the Lord, and we haven't said, God, I release it to you. Come and heal my pain, my brokenness. Come and do your amazing miracle in my life. Maybe it's a regret that you're holding on to. Maybe perhaps it's a mistake that you feel that you've made, that you still have not forgiven yourself for. Maybe it's a negative emotion or attitude that has been blocking you or bogging you down from walking in the abundant life that God so desires for you to be in. Yes, we can learn from our past. And yes, God uses our past to mold and to shape us, but that's only if we allow him to. You know, God brings us through circumstances for a particular reason. And sometimes we may not see that particular reason when we're going through it. But are we able to say, God, I've been holding on to this for far too long, and today's the day that I need to submit it to you. Today's the day that I need to forget the former things. You know, Satan is really good at reminding us to dwell on our past. He is so good at accusing us. He is so good about lying, you know, telling these lies, feeding us with these lies to say, remember that situation? Remember when you messed up? Remember when you did such and such? He's so good at that. But I pray that as we go into this, as we end this year, and as we go into this new year, that God would give you and I the revelation to see that lie and to really be able to break free. You know, the enemy wants to hold us back. He wants to use our past to hold us back from the future that God has in store for us. So brothers and sisters, please don't let the enemy get his way. You know, sometimes when we think about forgetting about the past, sometimes it's usually just bad things, right? But as I was reflecting on this, I also thought about perhaps maybe we might even need to forget about the glory days. I don't know if you know what I mean, but you know, when you start, maybe perhaps sometimes we have to stop thinking about, oh, well, you know, back in the day when we used to do things this way, and how come we can't do it now this way? Or you know, I think God really convicted me. Like, you know, when I was in college or when I was working, you know, I came back to church and I was like, well, when we were in youth group, we did it this way. You know, how come they're not doing it this way? And then even now, as like I'm married, I'm like, oh, well, when we were in our young adult group, we did it this way. Why is Supernova doing it this way or whatever? And so it's easy to sometimes hold on to those glory days, like, oh, back in the day, you remember, you know, and it's great that you had a wonderful time back in the day, but perhaps God is doing something different. Perhaps the circumstances are different. Perhaps he's gonna do something that's outside of the box that we put him in. You know, because I think sometimes it's so easy to compare our experiences with someone else's and to compare and to say, well, you know, this happened and then that happened. And so, boom, you need to follow that formula. You know, and especially when we get judgmental about it. You know, we can't live in our good old days, in the days of yesteryear, because perhaps maybe God is trying to do a new thing that we don't even know. And now don't box God up just because you had a great experience in your past that God is necessarily going to exactly act in that same way. You know, staying stuck in the past can keep us from whatever new thing that God wants to do. So as we enter into 2019, I want to ask you to think about your own life. What are you holding on to that perhaps God wants you to release, to let go, to forget? You know, it's interesting because we talk about, at first we talked about remembering, right? And now I'm talking about forgetting. And I kind of shared a little bit earlier, but a lot of times we have the two mixed up and switched around. You know, we don't remember the good things. We don't remember the things that encourage us, like what God has done. But we remember the things that bog us down, right? It's so easy to focus on the negative. It's so easy to focus on our current circumstances. But again, we need to see through what the enemy is trying to do. We need to see through those lies that he's feeding us. And I really want to encourage you that even as we are in a community, if we're able to share that with anyone, with each other, I want to encourage you to maybe take a risk and to even encourage each other and to say, you know what? I know you've gone through a difficult time, but maybe God wants you to move on. Maybe God wants you to forget about that thing. And let me pray with you. Let me walk through the season with you. And let's encourage each other to forget the former things. And then the last action word that we see is see, okay? Verses 19 to 21. Let's go to that. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Okay, so God is telling the Israelites that, hey, I'm about to do something new, all right? He's telling the Israelites, look, pay attention. Do you not perceive it? Do you not even know where I'm working? And I think it's sometimes easy for us maybe to miss what God is doing in our lives. Maybe perhaps we're too preoccupied. You know, the fact is God is always working. He's always working around us. But the question is, do we realize what he is doing? Do we have the sensitivity to his Spirit's prompting to see where he's working and how he's working in our lives? Are we in his presence to know what he's doing and where he's moving? You know, he's basically telling the Israelites, hey, look, I'm doing this new thing. It's springing forth. It's springing up, but you're not perceiving it. And what he's saying in verse 19, I'm waking away in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, he's basically telling the Israelites that, you know what, even though you're in captivity, you know, between Babylon and the return to Israel, there are hundreds of miles of wilderness and desert. But what he was telling, Isaiah was prophesying to the people of Israel, that what he was saying was basically, God is making a way in the wilderness. He is eventually going to lead the Israelites back to Israel, back from Babylon, back from captivity into the promised land. Through the wilderness, through the desert, he's going to provide streams in the desert, right? Streams in the wasteland. I mean, that's not typical, right? But God is going to do something new. He's going to provide nourishment. He's going to provide sustenance. And he's even going to protect the Israelites from these wild animals, because it says, because the wild animals honor me. You know, oftentimes when God makes a promise, we kind of worry about the details, or we worry about the obstacles. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, how, God, how are you going to make a stream in the desert? How are you going to make a way in the wasteland? It doesn't make sense from a human perspective. I mean, just like our Eritrean brother, it didn't make sense, right? When the journey was so hard for the kids who went through, and there was no way that the six-year-old son could make the three-night journey. But yet God, what did he do? He changed nations right in front of our eyes, right? He opened the borders. And so we heard how basically they no longer had to walk through the night. They just rode in a van across the border. I mean, we never thought that that could have happened. But yet we saw with our own eyes. Well, you'll see it next week when you meet the six-year-old son. How is God making a way in the wilderness for you? I think that's the exciting thing. We don't know, right? This is the new thing that God is going to do. And this is what we want to do as we go into 2019. How is God working in your life? How is God working in New Vine? How is God working in my life? What is this new thing that God is already doing? But are we able to perceive it? Are we able to say, yeah, God, I really want this new thing? Or what is this new thing that, another way to look at it is, what new thing do you want God to do in your life in this next year? Is there something new that you want to ask God for in faith? Is it perhaps to restore a relationship? Is it perhaps to spend more time with the Lord each day? To go deeper in your prayer life? Is it perhaps to be more bold as a follower of Jesus? You know, last week, Pastor Ted talked about embodying Jesus, right? Is it perhaps the new thing that we want to do is we want Jesus, we want to represent Jesus well in 2019? What is this new thing, brothers and sisters, that you want the Lord to do in your life in this coming year? You know, it's really not up to us to figure out how God's going to make a way in the wilderness. That's God's job. That's God's job, right? But are we able to come to him and say, God, bring me through whatever situation, whether it be having a hard time with the kids at home, whether it be a struggle at work, whether it be feeling a little lost in life. Maybe that's your wilderness. But God today is inviting us to open up our eyes and to see where he's working, to see what he's going to do, and to have faith that he will do it, to have faith that he will do this new thing. And what is this new thing for? And so basically, at the end of verse 21, it says, the people, let me read this. Verse 20, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. What's the whole point of this? That we, you and I, would be able to proclaim his praise. It's not about, it is about the miracle, but what's the ultimate goal of the miracles? What's the ultimate goal of this new thing? It's so that we can proclaim his praise, so that we can testify to each other, so we can testify to our non-believing friends and family, so that we can say, look what God has done in my life. Look what God has done in my situation. Look how God has done this new thing. When there's not meant to be water in the desert, when there's not meant to be a way in the wilderness, God still made it possible. It's not about us, but it's really about Him. It's really about giving the praise and the glory back to Him. And another thing that I forgot to mention is verse 20 and 21. It says, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself. Remember that you and I are God's chosen. Remember that you and I are God's sons and His daughters. We hold a special position and authority in God's kingdom. God is the one who has led you thus far. And God will continue to lead you into 2019. So even as we spend the next few minutes reflecting, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And when you came in, you received this piece of paper. Now, it might be a little hard to write on, but you also hopefully received a pencil. Just press down really hard, and if you can't write, maybe you can take out your smartphones. But I do want you to reflect and take this time to think about three things. To remember. So the first thing I want to ask you to do is to remember, what has God done in your life? What has God done in your life in 2018? Write that down. And I'm asking you to write it down because a lot of times when we write it down, it helps us to actually visualize it and to see it. Remember. That's the first thing. The second thing, forget. What is the thing that perhaps you have been holding on to for far too long? What is that thing that God wants you to give up to Him, to release to Him, to forget the past? And then the third thing, see. What is it that God wants you to see? What is it that God is doing in your life? What is it that you want God to do in 2019? What is it that you want Him to see? Will you give Him permission to do that new thing? Will you surrender to Him and to say, Lord, you can have full access. You can have full access with my life. I surrender to you because I want to see this new thing that you're going to be doing. Let's take a few minutes to reflect on those three things, to remember, to forget, and to see. And then in a few minutes, we'll close with a song.